Thanks for checking out the Long and Short of It podcast. You can find us on all good podcast platforms. Please consider following or subscribing. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to The Long and Short of It, the podcast where we discuss each of the games in the Metacritic Top 100 list. My name's Lawrence and I'm joined by...
This is Dan. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast. We're recording on a Sunday today for a change, aren't we?
Yeah, not Sunday nice. Seems to be our on and off new day.
It does, yes, as you're driving all over the world at the moment.
Yes.
We're both busy... Young men, are you having a nice Sunday?
Yeah, I've been for a walk to the
I've done that as well
already.
Yep, I've done that,
and I've played some Hitman Blood Money. That's a bit of a spoiler.
Spoiler. So you don't need to listen to the end of the episode anymore.
For no reason.
That's right.
I mentioned that game for no reason.
That's right. It's unrelated.
In the background.
Unrelated. That's right.
Well, and how has your Sunday been?
Yes, I've also been for a little walk to the garden centre, picked up a pork loin, and currently got that in the slow cooker. So my house
pork
is currently
loin from the garden centre.
Yes, there's a butcher's in the garden centre. It's not pork loin from the garden. They haven't just killed a pig in the garden. I don't think they do that
alongside the chrysanthemums.
That's right, right next to chrysanthemums and the bird fat balls.
Yes,
it's where you get your pork from, but
and
no.
The Wendy houses
and the Wendy house. That's correct. Yes, but speaking of, now I'm going to do a nice
Wendy
little link
houses.
Up here. Speaking of gardens, we're going to talk about a game with a bit of exploration today, like when you used to explore in the garden. Did that one work?
That was a tenuous link at best.
I would say so. but yes, today we're. We're going to be talking about a game linked with exploration, but maybe not the garden. But we're going to be talking about the 1997 PC PlayStation game. Gardening game. Garden Simulator 1997.
Garden World.
No, we're going to be discussing Tomb Raider 2. Not related to gardening, just related to exploration.
Starring Charlie Dimmock.
I was going to say, that's his name. I was about to say, what's that person's name? I was going to say Pincock, but there's Dimmock. That's right. Charlie Pincock. But no, starring Lara Croft. So Tomb Raider 2 came out on the PlayStation 1 in 1997. It was developed by Core Design and published by Eidos Interactive. Interactive. And received a Metascore of 85. So... As is the new fashion, we'll be reading out a brief little review. I tend to go for the best critic review and the worst user review. So which one shall I start with?
Go with the critics first.
Go for the critic. So the top one is literally 12 words. So I'm going down a little bit further. So gaming age. Have you heard of that
I have,
outlet?
Yeah.
Excellent. So Gaming Age gave this game a 100. And they say, even at its most frustrating lower points, Tomb Raider 2 satisfies. And when at its peak of effectiveness, the game is a soaring masterpiece. So that's Gaming Age.
That's a weird score for that description.
Yeah, and then it says score equals 98, although it's given it a 100. So very confusing. Now, for the lowest user review, there's only two user reviews for Tomb Raider 2 on Metacritic.
It's an old game.
It is. And one of them is from Jerry Temple, who gave it a 10. And the other one is from Jan96, and it's in Spanish. But, because I'm professional, I've translated it. I've translated it. So, Jan96 gives it a 7. And you'll have to excuse if this is... there's only one word in here that I'm unsure on. So... It is a game with solid foundations, but it is no longer a demanding platform to deliver more puzzles. The approach to combat with weapons remains brief and more constant than in the last installment, and the locations are well designed, but nowhere near reaching the notes of epicity of the previous one, which I think is it epicity? Yeah, is it epicity a word? I've never heard it before.
No, I think he means epicness. Of being epic.
Yeah, correct. So yes, that's from Jan 96. So what are your thoughts on those reviews?
Yeah, I think there's probably some truth in... I mean, the first one's a bit vague.
Yeah, it is.
Probably some truth in the latter one. But not... maybe not entirely true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the second one, Jan, kind of makes reference to the original Tomb Raider there.
Yeah.
And to note, the first Tomb Raider game came out the year before. So Tomb Raider 1 came out in 96, Tomb Raider 2 in 97, and I believe Tomb Raider 3 came out in 98.
Quick turnaround time.
Yeah, they were very quick. And I'm pretty sure from what I've heard about the development of these games that the developers did become quite burnt out and a bit sick of the Tomb Raider games because they were working on them. So I'm pretty sure Tomb Raider The Last Revelation came out in 1999.
Yes, they did about 5 in 4 or 5 years, didn't they?
Yes, and then Tomb Raider Chronicles came out in 2000. And, I mean, anyone that's played the series, and spoilers for you if you haven't, but these are old games, what Core Design decided to do in Tomb Raider 4 is they kill Lara off. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah. At the end of the game, and then Tomb Raider 5, Tomb Raider Chronicles, is kind of like a reflection on some of her adventures, and it is not a very well-received game overall, I don't think. Okay. I've played all of them. But speaking of that, what's your history with Tomb Raider 2 or the Tomb Raider franchise?
Tomb Raider 2 is similar to the description I gave with Crash Bandicoot, which was, I think we were just playing games on the PS3. I think you downloaded a bunch of PS1 games.
Yeah, I did.
I seem to remember Soul Reaver as well. And I was just dabbling with them, and I dabbled with, I think, the first three Tomb Raider games there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got memory of us playing Tomb Raider 3 in the jungle.
Yeah, we played all of them.
Yeah.
Definitely got memories again of all of them. So I probably started one, got frustrated, moved on to the next, and then you may have said to me, I'll try the next one because it's...
Yeah.
A bit less of this or that. But that's not the whole story, though, because I kind of got on board with the Tomb Raider series during the PS2 era. So my first Tomb Raider game, I'm not going to say Angel of Darkness, because I was reading magazines when the reviews for that came out, and it got absolutely just...
It's a very broken game.
Yeah. So the first game that I played was Tomb Raider Legend.
Yep.
And I really quite enjoyed that. I don't think it's an amazing game. I think it's like a solid, good game. And yeah, it's just quite enjoyable to play.
Mm.
And it's a bit of a Friday night popcorn film game. Like an action film, just to really get your blood going, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to say.
That's right.
So played Tomb Raider Legend. Didn't play Tomb Raider Anniversary at the time, although I was always kind of interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Played Tomb Raider Underworld when that came out on the following generation. Completed that. That was a bit of a funny game because you're talking about the period where Uncharted 1 had already come out.
Yes.
And then this game came out. And... I think it was having a bit of an identity crisis, but it wasn't a bad game by any means. It was fairly decent. And then the new trilogy, I've played and completed all of those games and really quite enjoyed all three of them. I think probably of the three, the first one is my favourite, probably followed by the second, followed by the third, but they're all pretty decent and more in the vein of the Uncharted games, but they wander off in their own direction a little bit.
Tomb Raider, it kind of has three cycles. So you've got the first cycle of Tomb Raider, which is Tomb Raider, Tomb Raider 2, Tomb Raider 3, Tomb Raider 4, Tomb Raider 5, and The Angel of Darkness. And then they did a soft reboot with Tomb Raider Legend, like you say. And then after that, they released Tomb Raider Anniversary, which is like a remaster / remake of Tomb Raider 1. But they marry it in with the story of Tomb Raider Legend. And then Tomb Raider Underworld.
Tomb Raider Legend.
Yeah, correct. And then Tomb Raider Underworld, which kind of wraps up that trilogy of games. And then I believe the trilogy that they rebooted in 2013 is called the Survivor Trilogy, which, like you say, kind of marries it in a bit more with Uncharted. And that kind of that game style, I suppose, because they do feel very similar. I mean, I've played the newer trilogy as well, and I'll be honest, I prefer those games over the Uncharted series. But I think it's because I was a bit of a latecomer to Uncharted that maybe I wasn't as keen on it. But I
like them.
Yeah, I think they're really good. I've only played the first two. I didn't play the third. I've watched you play some of the third
one's
one.
Good as well. You did. Yeah, when you came to my
you're running around the mansion, weren't you?
In West Orton. Yeah,
that was it.
I was fighting a tiger.
Yes, correct. But yeah, so my experience with the series is a bit more clear than yours, and I mentioned a while ago during when we were talking about when I first played FF7, my cousin. So my cousin was a bit like a sister to me growing up. So, because I don't have any siblings, so I was quite close with her. And on the PlayStation, she had one, I had one, and we discussed the whole Breath of Fire 4, I think it was, and FF7 thing. But she and her dad used to play through the Tomb Raider games. And I'd have a go on them, I'd watch them. I find that the difficulty spikes in the Tomb Raider games, particularly when you're quite young, that they're not easy games.
Yeah.
But I've got a lot of memories of not so much Tomb Raider 1, but Tomb Raider 2, The Great Wall of China, Venice, the offshore rig, got memories of those. And then Tomb Raider 3, in the jungle, in the Nevada desert, Antarctica, London. And I've got quite a lot of fond memories of those. And then Tomb Raider The Last Revelation, which is based in Egypt for pretty much the whole game. And then Chronicles. And when Chronicles came out, I was a bit more kind of conscious of gaming. I suppose I was about 10-ish. 2000, I'd have been 9. So 9 or 10. And then, yeah, I've kind of dabbled with them ever since. And when I got my PS3, I got the Tomb Raider HD trilogy, which is Legend, Anniversary, and Underworld, which is a pretty good collection. And then I've, like I say, I've played the newer trilogy as well, but only the first two games. So I've got a fair bit of, as is the case with a lot of the games I've put on this list, of nostalgia with the Tomb Raider games. And something that I want to kind of tap into before we move on to the plot of this game is just the Tomb Raider hype that was around the mid to late 90s. Because, I mean, wherever you looked, from about 97, 98, I'd say from about Tomb Raider 2, like Lara Croft was everywhere, wasn't she?
Even pre-Tomb Raider's release, I was reading an article about this. Hype levels were really high. And it was everywhere, and there were lots of people talking about it, people doing fancy dress and all this stuff. And the game came out, and some people said it didn't live up to what they kind of expected from the pre-release material. It was a lot slower game than a lot of people thought.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it kind of lived on for, that latter part of 1990s, and then really died down in the early 2000s. Probably came back to life a bit with the new trilogy.
Yeah.
But even that started dying down a bit by the third game.
Well, if you think back to, because Core Design are they're a British developer. I think they were based in Leeds. And Tomb Raider, Lara Croft is British. And the whole Tomb Raider thing was a very kind of British hype thing. And you and me have talked about maybe once or twice on the podcast Cool Britannia, because we did a topic at university called Cruel Britannia about British playwriters. But the mid to late 90s in Britain, it was called Britannia, and it was about like kind of British pop culture. And the one thing that I always think of when I think about Tomb Raider is the Spice Girls, because the Spice Girls were kind of pushing, you know, girl power, and were the biggest, really the biggest group in the world. And Tomb Raider, I kind of see as alongside that. And I don't know if you remember them, but there were there were some Lucozade adverts from back in the 90s that Lara Croft was in. Do you remember those at all?
No.
They're on YouTube, and they're funny to go back and watch now, because I remember seeing them on the television at the time and being blown away with the fact that a video game person was front and center on like normal TV, because it wasn't something that you really saw that often. And then obviously in the early 2000s, the films came out with Angelina Jolie. There was the first one, and then there was The Cradle of Life, which I didn't see the second one, but I remember the first one quite well, because it's I didn't realise until a few years ago, but Daniel Craig's in that film as well as one of the villains. But yeah, you can't really understate how massive Lara became. And I think a big part
of
that...
Was he one of the villains, or was he the love interest?
A bit of both. He was kind of... He was a bit grey, so he wasn't the main bad guy, but he was working for them, but he was a bit kind of, like, on the fence, I suppose.
Yeah.
And we mentioned at the start of the episode that core design, and particularly the lead developer, was getting a bit kind of tired out with Tomb Raider by the time they got to Tomb Raider 3. And I know from doing research, I can't remember his name, but he was very much against the fact that Lara was becoming a sex symbol, because she absolutely was. Like anything that you look at from the 90s or the 2000s about Lara, it was very overly sexualized. She was on the front of gaming magazines and bloke magazines, really, like in bikinis and stuff like that. And there were all these rumours, I remember, at school about how there was a cheat that you could get her naked and stuff. It was...
Yeah.
It's a really weird thing to look back on now. And I think the reason that they made Lara a woman was because they were a little bit afraid when the first one came out of being compared too closely to Indiana Jones, which is the same thing with Uncharted, really, isn't it? I think they were a little bit concerned about that.
Well, I think enough time had passed that you could get away with it.
Yeah, I think so. But obviously, with it being, particularly the 90s being quite a different time, I think having...
Well, Indiana Jones was much fresher in terms of release back then.
100%. But if you're creating a video game that has a female protagonist in very little clothing for a primarily male-dominated industry, I think it was going to happen because of what like the general public was at the time. I think you could do it now, and there'd still be a corner of the internet or of the public that would probably take it down that route. But the over-sexualization of Lara at the time was absolutely massive.
Now, I don't know. I don't remember at the time, and obviously I was very young at the time, same as you. But did the developers feed that initially with the way that Lara was presented? Because that seems to be the consensus. I've been chatting to a few friends about this game, and
it's very hard to argue that they didn't do that at all. I mean, I'm pretty sure, particularly between Tomb Raider 2 to 4, and I watched a review on Tomb Raider 4 the other day, they do put a lot of emphasis, particularly like on her chest being absolutely massive as the games go on. And I think there is a bit of that involved in it, but I don't know how kind of focused in on that the lead dev was, but I know that he didn't like it. But I think maybe it was perhaps pressure from the publisher, from Eidos Interactive, that maybe tried to take Lara down that route a little bit. And it only kind of feels with the newer trilogy that they've dialed back on that, because even in Legend Anniversary and Underworld, it still feels like that there is that element there a little bit. Whereas the 2013 reboot, I think, kind of shies away from it a lot more. I think so. I just kind of wanted to touch on the kind of the gravity of how big Tomb Raider fever was in the 90s, because I mean, you look back at the mid to late 90s, everything was absolutely huge. You know, Star Wars was making a resurgent, Pokemon, Tomb Raider. You know, there was so much stuff that was a really big deal. And people were going mad for stuff like that. But Tomb Raider was definitely at the forefront, particularly in the gaming sphere. And like we said, she kind of became a bit of a mascot for PlayStation, I think, for a while, didn't she?
A pop culture icon.
Oh, 100%, massively. Which is why, you know, they made the films, and, you know, the series is still popular today, because they are very good, very difficult.
And it will reappear at some point.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be making a fourth game out of that series, from what I've heard, I think.
I think that trilogy is over.
But they're going to do something else with her.
Yeah, I have a feeling it will reappear in some other form.
Of course, yeah. But yeah, they are incredibly important, and in my opinion, very good games. And I'm quite surprised that we haven't seen any Tomb Raider games included in the top 100 list, like in the original list, not from our stuff. But yeah, so do you want to talk a little bit about the plots of Tomb Raider 2, as that is the one that we're talking about today?
No, I'm gonna be honest here and say that I found what was there. There's not much there.
There isn't much focus on the plot, is there?
I found it very difficult to follow. Mm-hmm. So there was the occasional cutscene with a bit of dialogue, but really not much. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that we're chasing some artifacts around the world. We go to China, we go to Italy, we then go underwater and we find something that's important there. Mm-hmm. Along the way, Lara's locked up. Then we return to China and kind of end the game there and end up fighting a dragon. To me, there are no real other characters apart from Lara. There's no one really key. I couldn't name anyone else. And it was a really disjointed story for me.
So the main plot of Tomb Raider 2, and I mean, Tomb Raider 1 goes bombastic as well. If you think back to Tomb Raider 1, within the second level, you fight a Tyrannosaurus Rex in a cave in Peru. So the games have always been a little bit out there. And the story of Tomb Raider 2 is there is an artifact called the Dagger of Xian, I think it's pronounced, which effectively gives the wielder of the blade the power of the dragon that can turn you into a dragon. And where Lara comes into it is that she's looking for this artifact, as well as an Italian businessman, mobster, I've never really worked out what he is, called Marco Bartoli.
He turns into the dragon at the
end. He does. So the game is primarily trying a race to try and get the dagger before Bartoli does. And you're going through various levels trying to find a way to access the temple of Xian in China, because the first level of the game, which is the Great Wall of China, you find this door and it's locked. And the main kind of focus of the game is trying to find a way to access that door and get through. You kind of get there and it's too late, and Bartoli's got the dagger, and like you say, turns himself into a dragon, and that's the game. Lara steals it away, takes it home, gets raided by Bartoli's men, and then the game ends.
Oh yeah.
So it's a very, very basic plot, and I think
the first plot as bare bones as that.
Yeah, the first plot is. The first game is very bizarre, because it's about I think it goes back to like the 1950s when there are the atomic tests and like Bikini Atoll. And basically a nuclear bomb goes off, tested by the Americans, and it releases this this tomb with a body in there. And the plot of the game is to get these three circles, which make something called the Scion. And the game basically takes you through normal places like caves, as you would expect in a Tomb Raider game. But then all of a sudden you go to the lost city of Atlantis, and there are these like centaurs who are attacking you. And it's incredibly strange.
Very 90s gamey. I mean,
100%. I mean,
in 90s gaming.
I mean, at one point in the story, you get kind of the main villain. I can't remember her name. It's a woman. she's got three henchmen, and you have to fight each of them in a level. Mm. One of them is he's called the Skateboarder Kid, and you're basically in a cave trying to get to the pyramid of trying to shoot down this skater who looks a bit like Tony Hawk. There's this like French assassin, and then this absolutely massive unit of a guy. But they're very strange games, and I mean they only start getting a bit more grounded, but even so they're still off the walls in Tomb Raider 4, I'd say, because Tomb Raider 3 still kind of messes with magic and stuff. So we haven't actually discussed where we played these games. So where did you play Tomb Raider 2?
There's the new remaster that's just been released.
Mm-hmm. Came out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and it's basically been released everywhere. So in preparation for this episode, I purchased this game, pre-installed it, and got it on the Switch. Good place to play it. It's from watching the Digital Foundry video, the versions are pretty consistent across each of them. They all run similarly, and they look similar. The textures are all the same quality and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it was a good one to play handheld for me, especially with all the travelling that I'm doing at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I also played the remaster. I have access to Tomb Raider 2. I've got it on my PS3. But I wanted to play the newer version because the remaster, the remake, whatever you want to call it, that came out recently, has improved controls. If you want to use modern controls on it, which I didn't, I really struggled with. I stuck to the tank controls, which are very archaic. But there's also a mode on there where you're playing it in, you know, remastered 4K. But if you press the start button, it takes you back to the original graphics just with the press of a button, which I think is quite a cool little trick in there.
Yeah.
So moving on to the gameplay. Gameplay's king. Do you think this game's fun?
In doses, and if you're in the right mood.
Yeah.
Small doses, if you're in the right mood, it can be fun. I found this game, the further I got into it, the more I found it started to really drag.
Yeah.
So this game peaked very early for me, and I was quite enjoying it, and then it kind of really petered off, and I didn't really win me back. So yeah, I've got nothing wrong. I've got nothing against the formula of it. It's just some of the bits around it that I think could be improved.
Yeah, no, I get that. Something that you said to me is that you didn't realise how slow these games were, because they are very kind of slow paced puzzle solving, unlocking like a key to open a door somewhere else in the level.
They're almost point and click adventure game slow.
Yeah, a little bit. And as the levels get bigger, it becomes a lot more complex. And it's the reason that I chose Tomb Raider 2, because I feel that Tomb Raider 1's great, but I think it's a little bit too streamlined. Tomb Raider 2, I find, hits the balance quite well, because Tomb Raider 3, the levels are absolutely massive and they become much more of a time sink because it's a lot harder to work out where you need to go. Tomb Raider 3 is a good game, but I just feel for the best of Tomb Raider, for the original games, I wanted to focus on 2. I think the game is quite fun, but I agree with you. It does drag in some areas, and a lot of levels are better than others. And, you know, some of the level design on a few of the levels is great, others not so much. Now, we always ask what your favourite move is, but I don't want to ask that because, I mean, the game is effectively a platformer, puzzle solver and shooter, and there aren't any kind of specialist moves you can do. I want to ask you what your favourite level was. Did you have any favourite levels or any that stuck out as particularly good?
Yeah, I think it's where the game peaked for me, which was, I think this is a bit of a fan favourite, quite a complex level, the Opera House.
Yeah.
The reason for that is, I think Italy's one of the stronger areas in the game.
It is.
And you start off outside the Opera House, and you infiltrate via the roof, and then you go inside the body of the Opera House, and eventually you kind of make your way under the stage of the Opera House and come out the other side to like an underwater sub-pen. And I just really quite appreciated the variety within that one level, considering some of the other levels, for several levels at a time, look identical. So that level did a lot more than a lot of the other levels. And generally speaking, I think the design of these games is quite smart. So there's a lot of, again, this is a very 90s thing to do. There's a lot of, here's a locked door. Now you go and find a key. And then once you found the key, you come to another locked door, you'll find another key. And to find a certain key, you may have to go and press a button to open another door to get to the key. It's very much that sort of gated levels where you're kind of progressing further and further. But what they do is they do shortcuts back to where you were.
Yeah.
And once you kind of work out how the design of the building or the space works, it's quite smartly done for the time. And especially that opera house. But yeah, so it peaked around there, and a couple of levels after that were okay. And then that's when I kind of went on the downward slide with it.
Yeah, I get that. I think that Italy is a pretty strong area. The first level, the Great Wall of China, is quite a short one, really, isn't it? It's not a particularly long section. I mean, my favourite section of the game is the wreck of the Maria Doria. Basically, Lara gets captured when she leaves Italy, is taken prisoner on an offshore rig, and finds out from a monk that a shipwreck which belonged to one of the ancestors of Marco Bartoli has a key item. I think it's called the Seraph, that she needs to obtain. So she goes kind of into a shipwreck, effectively, which I think is quite a cool setup for a level.
Lasts about three or four levels, though.
It does. It's long, and not all of it's good, but I quite like it as a...
Yeah, I that was a real dipping point for me, those nautical levels. There seem to be, overall, from start to finish, about five levels set.
No one likes a water level, do they?
Underwater.
No one likes a water level.
They're just all too
similar.
They're
very similar. Yeah.
They all looked the same, and the same colour scheme, and bit of swimming and then a bit of land stuff, and that was where my patience was really being tested.
I think one thing that we should note, we've kind of noted our favourite areas or levels of the game, but I think that the real standout in Tomb Raider 1, 2 and 3 is Lara's home. Did you play around with Lara's home at all?
Yeah, that's cool. Well, obviously, I did the final level there, and when I was doing that, I was exploring a bit at the same time, and I thought this is a very cool level. Reminded me a bit of some of the old James Bond games and levels in those. We played The World Is Not Enough as part of the my 15 games, and it could have been a level out of there because it's that sort of glamorous Bond-esque thing. And yeah, that's a cool level.
Did you do the... Because obviously every Tomb Raider game, well, the first three have a tutorial area of a home. Did you explore that at all?
No, I didn't, but I have done in the past. Yeah. So I played the Tomb Raider games when I was a child as well, around people's houses. And those were the areas that we inevitably played in the home, doing the obstacle course and locking the butler in the freezer and stuff like that.
That's a rite of passage for any gamer. Locking the butler in the freezer. Winston, I believe is his name. I want to talk a little bit, I mentioned earlier, the controls. You used the new control.
The modern controls,
yeah. Did you try the tank controls at all?
I did, only in the first game, where some of the things are more easy to pull off using the tank controls because it's more of a predefined thing. But you can do every single move, and they have a breakdown of it on the developer's website of the remaster, that you can do every single move that you can do in the original game in the under the modern controls, but they're not always...
This was the problem that I found.
Intuitive
button
combinations.
Yeah, they're not intuitive, and also there isn't a guide on how to do absolutely everything in the game. A few times I had to look up how to do certain things on the internet, with the new control scheme, which is why I went back to the original, because I just don't think it's very intuitive.
I think that list, I don't know if it's a new list, but I think it has been updated and it seems to be quite complete now.
Yeah, I don't think they've done a very good job in the remasters with...
No, they don't tell you. No. But then I suppose you could argue that they don't tell you in under the original controls either.
No,
certain things.
They do. Not so much in Tomb Raider 2, but in the first Tomb Raider, when you go to... Because her home is used as a tutorial area. And there's... basically, she gives you a full rundown of how to control her and how to do certain things.
Okay.
Whereas, yeah, difficult. And the thing that I find with the controls, and quite a few other reviews have touched on this, is the level design is designed around the controls, because the game itself is, the levels are put together in a grid system. So each grid is like a back jump for Lara, and all of the jumps are linked in with that grid system, which is why I don't think that the new control scheme on the remaster really suits, because modern controls aren't made for a game like this.
I think they've done quite a good job for a game that was set on a grid to break away from that and to offer a modern control scheme that's more palatable to gamers in 2024. I used it for the most part, and the more I used it, the easier it got. And by the end of it, you're kind of judging your jumps like you would with the tank controls. I think it's one of those things. If you played the originals, maybe you're going to like the tank controls more. It's going to be one of those things where different people will prefer different styles. But the fact that they've got those two styles for different people is good. And some reviewers, I read a few reviews for this game. Some reviewers preferred the modern controls. Some preferred the original. So it really is your mileage may vary.
It is a personal preference. But yeah, for anyone that goes away and plays the games that we talk about, if you're going back to play the original Tomb Raider 2 on the PS1, or if you've managed to get an emulator of it, you are stuck with the original tank controls, which in my opinion is better. But again, that's because I played those games when I was a kid, so muscle memory, I suppose. I want to talk about... Well, not talk about, the question of the week. So we've talked that there is the new trilogy that came out, and it's received quite well. I think they're a good series of games. Some areas of it are questionable, where Lara kills her first person, and then within 30 seconds later, she's mowing down an entire troop of enemies.
Yeah.
But overall, I think...
Narrative dissonance.
Yes. But I think overall, those games are pretty good.
Yeah, I do.
What would you like to see from another Tomb Raider game? Say, if they're going to do a fourth game in that series, or if they're going to start again, what would you want to see? Do you want to see it kind of back to a bit more what it was before, or would you like to see it going in a new direction? What are your thoughts?
I think what the new trilogy did really well was it developed the Lara character, made her much more, apart from the ludonarrative dissonance that you mentioned, much more human, and got Camilla Luddington, that was the actress that played Lara in the new games, and she was really good. And so that made that side of things a lot more relatable. I think they need to stick with humanizing Lara and telling these stories that work around the development of the character,
which is a very 2010s 2020s trope, isn't it? Kind of the more character development rather than just a video game with a character that shoots guns.
And I think I think the toothpaste is out of the toothpaste tube there, and I don't think there's any going back with that. I don't think going back to the Lara of the 90s would work.
No, and absolutely not.
I think that's where it needs to go, even more so. More development in that area. In terms of the gameplay, I think it needs to find its own identity.
Yes.
The problem was it followed
much like Uncharted.
And Uncharted had really made a name for itself with that path.
Yeah.
And people often said that the Uncharted games were like the old Tomb Raider games. Well, you could argue that maybe they were like some of the middle trilogy Tomb Raider games, that there are maybe resemblances to Legend and Anniversary and Underworld.
Mm-hmm.
But they really popularized that new formula for games. And then Tomb Raider came back along and basically did its own version of that.
Yeah.
I think there's a middle ground that isn't going back to... I don't think those original games, and even the reviews are in line with this, I don't think those original games are palatable to a widespread modern audience. I think they require a lot of patience, and I think as gamers we are less patient than we once were. So I don't think that's the answer, to go whole hog down that route. I don't want to see the return of tank controls as a popular thing.
No, normally.
I think they could slow down the gameplay from the yes. new trilogy.
Yeah.
And they could speed up the gameplay from the old trilogy and find that nice balance. I think Tomb Raider 2, I played about 5 levels of Tomb Raider 1 before playing Tomb Raider 2. And I think Tomb Raider 2 has too much combat.
Yes.
Combat is where the game is at its weakest. Mm-hmm. And
it's the camera.
It really is a struggle. Oh, and I didn't mention that. Yeah, the camera. Really, I should have said this in Gameplay as King. The camera is the worst camera. I feel no doubt in my mind saying it, that I have ever used. There are those narrow passageways where the roof is very low. It gets stuck and you cannot correct it.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up dying because the only option is to just jump until you fall down a pit and die. Really, and I get it, it's an old game and they couldn't correct that for the remaster because the areas had the same geometry as the original game. So I think there's a middle ground where they focus on the stuff that the original games did well, which is exploration, which is puzzle solving, but not just pushing around blocks. We're past that. Which is taking you to those exotic locations, leaning into the mythology. I've got no problem with that. Mm. But working out its relationship with combat, I don't think the answer is to go down the route of mowing down a million enemies per level.
Or making every species in the game an endangered species.
Yeah. and I think that's a mistake that the original trilogy starts to make and the new trilogy starts to make. So mm-hmm. I think these games are at their most enjoyable not in the combat, when you're exploring, when you're puzzle solving, when you're picking up those treasures, when you're figuring out the culture and the lore of the land. So that's where I think they need to go.
Yeah,
but there's probably a really unique path that a very clever developer that could come up with that is just something really new and fresh, but I don't quite know what that looks like.
No.
What do you think?
I'm with you in that I think that it needs to find its own identity. I think the new trilogy lent a little bit too much on what Uncharted was, which makes sense because Uncharted is Uncharted and it's hugely successful. But I think that Tomb Raider needs to find its own thing because the original trilogy isn't much like Uncharted and there's a lot more quiet time. And I think that's what the new trilogy lacks a bit more. It needs more of that quiet time and that quiet element of things, which mm-hmm. is lacking. In terms of character development, I don't really know. I think they did a good job mostly with Lara in the new trilogy. And I liked a lot of her backstory in the Legend trilogy as well.
Yeah, that was all right.
The way that they kind of fill out her character in the original six games is, I think it leaves you wanting a little bit, particularly in Chronicles. But I think if they can work out how to make her own thing without leaning on Indiana Jones, without leaning on Uncharted, and really carving out its own thing, because Tomb Raider was its own thing and I think it lost its identity a bit, I think that's mm-hmm. what the focus needs to be on, which will be hard to do because Uncharted does it so well. But I'll be interested to see where the Tomb Raider franchise goes next, because I think it could either make it or break it, really.
I liken it a bit too. So Indiana Jones was inspired by James Bond.
Yeah.
That's what Spielberg said. And also, I believe it was Spielberg, not George Lucas, but obviously George Lucas was involved as well.
Yeah.
So that was inspired by James Bond, but James Bond lost its way a few times over the course of its however many years cycle.
The '70s and eighties.
So, yeah, and even the Pierce Brosnan era, they leaned too much into the gadgets.
They did.
You've got Quantum of Solace that tried to replicate the Bourne series. Even the Timothy Dalton films, which I love, they tried to emulate that style of Die Hard and, mm-hmm. and things like that that were popular at the time. I think some of the Daniel Craig films have done a good job of finding what it means to be Bond again. Like Skyfall and Casino Royale, obviously. So I think Tomb Raider needs to find that voice again and what makes it.
Lara needs to find her Skyfall. Uncharted.
Yeah, exactly. And if Tomb Raider can't do that, then I'd say wait until you've got that idea before making another game, because otherwise you dilute that. I think they managed to rebuild a lot of trust in the Tomb Raider franchise with the new trilogy. But they need to be careful where they step next, because it's very easily lost again.
Could be a misstep. Which we don't want. So, okay. I want to touch on the music briefly as well. Have you got any thoughts on the music in the game?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. It's quite fitting to the game and fitting to the mood, and I don't have any standout pieces or anything, but yeah, it was fine.
I think that with the Tomb Raider games, I think it's got a very iconic main theme. Whenever I think of Tomb Raider, the music from the main theme kind of comes into my head. And I think Tomb Raider's main score is very, very good and very suitable. And as well as that, there are times where it comes in Tomb Raider 2, I think. But the main one that sticks with me is when you first run into the T-Rex in Tomb Raider 1 and the music comes in and you know that it's like violins and you know that you're kind of in trouble. There are some really good pieces of music in the original Tomb Raider games and nothing really that stands out as you go away and listen to, but they're very easily identifiable as Tomb Raider. And the good thing I like about the Tomb Raider games is that they don't overuse music. There is a lot of silence in these games, and I think it suits
I like that.
It suits it well. Yeah, that's kind of an overlook of Tomb Raider 2 and a little bit of the Tomb Raider series, I suppose. So what do you think? Do you think this game, or do you think Tomb Raider deserves a spot on the list, or what are your thoughts?
Well, you've just hit the nail on the head there. I do believe, as a series, it probably deserves some representation somewhere. I don't know what game that would be. For me, it would probably be not one of the original games, maybe one of the newer games. But I'm not convinced that they're the greatest games ever, but this is video game royalty. And it transcended video games and became something that everybody knew. I'm pretty sure my mum would know who Lara Croft was.
Yeah, a bit like Mario.
Yeah, so I think there does deserve to be some representation. But your mileage may vary on which
series
entry is the one. Yeah, or which trilogy and which entry is the one to be there. Some people will say the original game, for the reason that it has less combat, that it was the first. Some people will say 3. some people will say the latter trilogy, and you might get the odd few that say the middle trilogy as well. So, yeah. Personally, if I was going to play a game today, it would be from the new trilogy, and it would probably be one or two from mm-hmm. the new trilogy.
Yeah.
So, I don't think, for me, and this is a subjective thing,
yep.
I don't think that Tomb Raider 2 deserves to be there. The combat was way inflated for what the game was, and it peaked very soon, and the levels themselves, some of them really drag on. Then some of the areas that you're in, i.e. underwater, mm-hmm. China, drag on way too long, and you're staring at the same sort of backdrops.
The Temple of Cheyenne.
Too many hours on end. And then the game itself, I think they could have easily trimmed 5 hours off it. It's they're long games as well.
They are.
They're deceptively long games. And yeah, so for me, there's too much wrong with Tomb Raider 2 for it to be there. But a Tomb Raider game does deserve to be there.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd make the argument that I think either Tomb Raider 1 or Tomb Raider 2 deserves to be there. Tomb Raider 3 is good. Tomb Raider 4, I'm not a huge fan of. And Chronicles, absolutely not. And Angel of Darkness, not in a million years.
It's your favourite, I think.
It's just... you should try Angel of Darkness sometime, because it's just so... So
I've watched, broken. I've watched quite extensive gameplay of it.
Oh, it's bad. But I like the setting, though. A lot of it's set in Paris, which I think is really cool. Yeah. But yeah, I think that Tomb Raider 1 or 2 should be here. As the remastered version, I think, because it makes it a lot more accessible to newer players.
Yeah, I like the remasters. I'm quite impressed with them, really.
But yeah, I think that it absolutely does deserve... I think Tomb Raider deserves its flowers. And it's a shame that it isn't in the top 100. Because it, same as Mario, same as Sonic, it is... up there with important gaming kind of franchising, I think. You know, I don't think gaming would be where it is, or it would be in a very different place if Tomb Raider hadn't existed. Same as with Mario, same as with Sonic. You know? So, yes, that's where I stand on it. But that's it for Tomb Raider. We have another Eidos game coming up next week, don't we?
Yes, Hitman, Blob Money.
Blob Money, yep, there you go. I'd forgotten about the reference there, so well done for remembering that one. Hitman, Blob Money, where Agent 47 is up against Mr. Blobby, I believe.
Yep, he's got his target, he needs to figure out the way to get to him.
He does, get into Noel's house party.
Make it look like an accident.
That's right, he's going to have to dress up like Mrs. Blobby.
Yes.
That's right.
That would be a disguise.
It would. But yes, it's Blood Money next week, isn't it? Which is your selection.
Yes, Hitman Blood Money next time. So, as we do, and I know you've already started this game and you've played it before.
Yep.
I said to you, play it on the setting where notoriety actually impacts the missions, because I think that's one of its strengths, which is carrying over some of your actions from the previous missions into the future missions, i.e. if you've really messed up, people will remember you.
Yes.
And just read those new newspaper articles between missions, because they really capture how you've done and maybe some of the mistakes you've made, or if you've done it perfectly, none of the mistakes you've made really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mine are, because I've played these so many times, they're usually empty, but there's also a lot of humour and some of the backstory within those papers.
Yeah.
I think it's something that makes Blood Money quite unique. So yeah, they're my only tips.
Fair enough. I'm a fan of Blood Money. So yeah, like you say, I've already started it, but I'm looking forward to cracking into it again.
There's some great levels in there.
Yeah, there are, particularly the theatre. I love the theatre level.
I've just done that this morning, actually.
That one in the winery,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chili.
So, yeah, some really good levels in Blood Money. But yes, so that is it for this week. As always, you can reach out to us via email with the long and short of it podcast at hotmail.com or on social media. And as always, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, all the places that you get your podcasts from. So yes, that is it from me. Is there anything else from you this week?
No, that's it from me.
Well, then we shall see you next time for Hitman Blood Money. And in the meantime, take care. Cheerio.
See you on the next one.